Please open your sutra book to page 2 and join your palms, repeat after me. Namo Bun Shi Shi Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Shi Shi Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Shi Shi Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Root Guru Shakya Muni Buddha.Namo Root Guru Shakyamuni Buddha. Namo Root Guru Shakyamuni Buddha. 开经偈，无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇。我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实义。The Sutra Opening Gatha. Gatha meaning verse. The supremely, altogether.The supremely profound, wondrously sophisticated Dharma is hard to encounter in millions of kalpas. And now that I am able to hear, read, and uphold it, I wish to comprehend the real import of the Thus Adventist. Please release your palms.Today, we are going to continue with the last time when we left off. 今天我们接着上次讲的、First of all, I'm going to go with the Chinese version first. Page 12, please. 十二页。上次讲到说，乃至一念生净性者，须菩提如来须知悉知悉见啊。所以我们一切众生所做的一切啊，他这个佛都悉知悉见啊。这个，所以你不要说你看不到佛，但是佛是看得到你的啊。那你做什么，你想什么，他都知道啊。所以我们不是说中国话说这个举头三尺有神明吗？那这个佛不一定说是三尺五尺八尺，哎，这个无量的这个空间之间，这个佛以他的佛眼一切照见，所以清清楚楚的，所以你做好做歹，这个佛都看到都知道啊。所以你若不愧良心，然后好好的做事，这个佛总会照应你的。是诸众生得如是无量福德，何以故？是诸众生无复我相、人相、众生相、寿者相，无法相，亦无非法相。啊，为什么呢？因为这些众生、这些人啊，他们已经生出净信、清净的信心，所以他们的心很清净了。啊，所以呢，这些人就不会再执着这个。无复我相，那我前面你个加一个着着啊，啊，不复着我相，着人相，着色者受者相，啊，他不会再去贪着，啊，我相就是我个人的这个相状啊，就是我相啊。那相对于我就是人，人就是他人啊。那我是主体。那人就是相对的啊、哦、是单数的。然后跟我相对，跟我个人相对的单数的就是人相，也就是他人之相。然后众生相是跟我相对的多数的复数的叫众生相啊、哦。那所以以我为主体，跟我相对的单数的就是人相，跟我相对的多数的就是众生相啊。哦，受者相呢，是总说我相、人相、众生相，因为一切我相、人相、众生相，我人众生都有一个寿命啊，都有一个 duration 啊，所以这是总说一啊。那如果一个人他心已经很清净了啊，那么他就不会再贪着这一些相啊。无法相亦无非法相，这无也是一样，无复着 也就不会再执着，不会再贪着法相。法相这个法呢，不一定是佛法的法，这个法呢，在这个佛语里面呢，是指所有的东西都叫做法啊，包括这个人啊，畜生啊，乃至于动物啊，啊，还有有情无情都叫法啊，这个有形象的，没有形象的，具体的，抽象的，全都叫做法啊。所以法是代表一切的东西，一切物啊，都叫做法。那个每一个法，每一个东西，它都会现出一个相状，所以叫法相啊。那这个法相呢，是好的，亦无非法相。非法相就是不是好的法，那就是不好的法。比如说法相是善相，那非法相就是恶相，这是一个意思。另外一个意思就是说，法相是有形状的叫法相，那相对的无非法相就是空相，就是它没有形象的啊。那何以故？是诸众生若心取相，即为着我人众生受者。为什么呢？因为这些众生如果他的心里面取相，你要加一个任何，取任何相啊，取就是取着 grasping seizing 啊，这个相呢，他就是贪着我人，这个着就是贪着，贪着我人众生受者啊。那如果取法相，即着我人众生受者啊。所以如果你取就只取了，只取也就是执着贪着的意思啊。那何以故？为什么呢？若取非法相，如果取非法相就是不好的啊。这个怎么说呢？譬如说有人说这个你修行就不应该贪着啊，那因为贪着的话就是着相，然后他就说好，那我不贪着了，我不着了，然后于是呢他就不精进了，他就懒惰了，那因为我不着了嘛。可是精进是一个相，你不应该贪着，但是你懒惰呢是反而是不好的相，是非法相。所以不贪着精进相，不是叫你变成懒惰相，对不对？叫你变成懈怠相。所以你若于懈怠的话，就变成着非法相。所以佛所说，就佛的法是这个中道，就是不着两边的，就这个是法相，这是非法相。所以你都不应该贪着，应该走在中间啊，两个都不贪着啊。那再举一个例子来讲，比如说有好人有坏人，那佛说，所以佛法难就在这里，你当然要对好人好，可是你要对好人好，但是不能贪着他啊，不能贪着他。那如果你贪着好人的话，那么这是不对的，所以你对他好，但是不能贪着他。那至于坏人呢，你也不能说因为他是坏人所以我就讨厌他。讨厌他表面上看来像是不贪着不贪爱，对不对？但是事实上讨厌也是一种贪爱，你懂吗？其实都是这种，就是贪爱就爱憎，这两个法是相对的，但是它是同样一种感情 发出来的。所以爱憎二法都是贪爱，以佛来讲就这样。所以你喜欢好人讨厌恶人，这都是贪爱的心造成的。那佛说这样子的话你不能得解脱，因为你自己被自己的贪爱跟憎恶的这个心呢给绑住了，所以你的心就不能够得解脱。所以你要对好人好，但是也要不憎恶人，你看这难不难？所以佛的法是不憎恶人。那这世间法是说我嫉恶如仇，这个人好，是不是？但是佛法 不可以嫉恶如仇。恶人自他自己造恶，自己受果报，跟你没有关系。那你若受他影响，就被他所动，被他影响了，然后也就等于是啊，被他害到了，你懂吗？所以呢，不正恶人。那这个不正恶人，除了说你是要有很高的这个修行，然后而且很大的慈悲心以外呢，也是一种智慧啊，才能够说不正恶人啊。所以你那个慈悲心升起的时候，不正恶人，但是你要能够把持得住啊，有那个定力，才能够真正不正恶人啊。那因为不正恶人，那你这个心就平静，然后你甚至于还可以帮助恶人做好事，就是说渐渐引导他。所以不正恶人的原因就是在于说你将来要度他，或是有机会就可以度他。可是你如果很讨厌他，你就不可能会度他嘛，是不是？但是佛大慈悲，是要度一切众生，所以对一切善恶不爱不憎这样的啊。那所以爱也对一切众生普行慈悲，而无爱憎啊，而无贪着。所以那你若贪着的话，就是有我，有人，有众生，有受者相这样的。所以离于爱憎二法，不贪着，那就因为什么呢？因为众生，你如果喜欢他，那就是我喜欢你，对不对？那你是被我喜欢的，那个你是人嘛，啊、哦，你或是你或是你，那都是被我喜欢的，所以我是能爱的人，你是我所爱的人，我能爱，你是所爱，啊、哦，所以一个能，一个所，啊、哦，所以我能爱这个是主动的人，啊、哦，是 subject， 然后所爱呢是。接受这个动作的人是 object 啊。那但是这个佛他的道理就是说，不要有认为说我能爱，然后他是我所爱这样子的事情啊。好，何以故？若取非法相，即着我人众生受者，是故不应取法，不应取非法。所以法不应取，好的法不应取，不好的法也不应取。以是一故，如来常说，汝等比丘，知我说法如法语者，法上应舍，何况非法。那么这一句话也是金刚经里面非常非常有名的，很重要的话。我们先讲英文，然后再回来解这一句话，因为这句话是个很大的一句话。 OK, now we come to the English version.Last time we have covered until page 13, second paragraph. In this case, you are given to understand that such people have already cultivated their own virtuous radices under the teachings of not just one Buddha, two Buddhas.Now we have covered this. We need to turn over the page. I'm sorry. Okay. We were at the sentence, the second line from the bottom on page 13. For all of these multi-beings have already been freed from ego appearance,outer appearance, multi-being appearance, and lifespan appearance. Okay, up to here. Because these people have already been purified in their mind or heart, so they have purified belief.And so, they are free from ego appearance. They have no more ego appearance, which means they are not egoistic. Okay. Why does it say ego appearance? Because ego is abstract. You cannot see it. But the Buddha puts it ego appearance, because even if ego is abstract, it is without form. But if you behave or do something, and it will show or reveal your ego. So there is an appearance with the ego. So although it is not like an image, but it in your behavior or your conduct, it is very palpable for people to tell that you have plenty of ego in your behavior. So in your behavior, it shows your ego, which means you have ego appearance. In the appearance of your conduct, there is your ego. It is called your ego appearance. Okay? So ego appearance means that the Buddha tried to make the abstract idea or conception into a solid thing, kind of, so that people can understand better. So, because it is only a mental action, and a mental action cannot be seen by the eyes. But if you make it into ego appearance, then it is kind of visible. So your ego shows itself in the appearance. It's called ego appearance. And everybody has this ego appearance. For instance, if you say, I think I do something, I go to school, I listen to the Dharma, or my parents, my wife, my son, I, my mind, me. These are all ego appearances. My house, my home, my car, they are also attachment to you. So they are your ego appearance too, because you're attached to these things, and your ego shows or is manifested on these things, on these concrete things. So the concrete things, people or stuffs, are called your ego appearance, because they embody your love, embody your care, and embody your attachment. So they are all the things belong to you, around you, are also your ego appearance. So not just the sentiment or mentality within your mind is called ego appearance, but everything, living or not living, animated or inanimated, if they belong to you, and you are attached to them, and you love them, then they are your ego appearance. Okay, so ego appearance is a very broad subject. Okay, so if any person who is free from ego appearance, then what is the result? The result is liberation. Okay. But why are people not liberated? It is very ironical that not other people or other things are binding you, are tying you up. But conversely, because you love other people, because you love all those people, all those things, all your pets, your car, your house, you're attached to them. So they don't bind you. You are bound to your stuff. So you are not liberated. And so it's very cynical that you own the thing, but more often than not, that you are owned by that thing. Okay. You have a wife and you own a wife, but conversely, you are owned by your wife. Okay. You did not have a car, and now you buy a car and you own a car. Now the car is owning you. You know, you have to spend all your time, your money, and your care on your loved car. Right? So you are owned by the thing you own. Okay? And you belong to the person who belong to you. Understood? Okay. So I'm not liberated from time yet. Okay, so that's ego appearance. So you see how far, how difficult it is to be freed from ego appearance. So if you are freed from ego appearance, and which means you are not attached to your ego anymore. And what's the result? The result would be that you would have no alter appearance. Alter appearance meaning that yourself is ego and the other party is alter ego in singular number. If they are in plural number, then it becomes multi-being appearance. Okay. So, as opposed to you, then they are all others. And all the other people, if it is singular, then it is called alter appearance. Alter means other in Latin. Okay. So, other appearance means other person's appearance. And if it is other people's appearances, then it is called multi-being appearance. Multi meaning many. Being meaning people or even any living beings. So, you see, who is the most important guy in this world or in this universe? Who? Me. Me. So, I am the most important person in this whole universe. So, so I'm in the center. It is ego. And all around me, this guy is alter appearance. This guy, they are all individually alter appearance. And they, if you put them together, two or three, then they become multi-being appearances in the plural number. And then lifespan appearance. Both myself and the other guy and all the other people together, we have a lifespan. So we have a duration to subsist. So we live for some duration, which is called lifespan. Okay. So we don't live forever. So we have a lifespan. And this lifespan appearance is a general term to include all the former three appearances: ego, alter, and multi-beings. Okay? So it includes the previous appearances. So if I'm attached to my ego or my ego appearance, then I would be attached to alter appearance, because as me, as the subject, then the other person, as opposed to me, would be someone who, to whom I would react with some due sentiment or action. For instance, I and him, I either like him or dislike him, or I like him 30% and dislike him 70%, or I just ignore him, or I just despise him, right? Or I just hate him. So there is always an action or interaction between me and the other person. Okay. And such is the same with me and multi-being, a lot of people, you know. For instance, I like Americans and I hate Japanese. Okay, so Americans are multi-beings. Japanese are multi-beings. That's an example. It's not true. Okay, but if you want it, then I would say, and I love Taiwanese. Okay. So not exactly. Some Taiwanese are so disgusting. Me as ego and alter and multi-beings, and we all have a duration to live. And so if I am freed from my ego appearance, then I will be liberated from my own ego, and so I would not generate any bad sentiment or strong sentiment toward other people. That is meant by being freed from alter appearance and multi-being appearance. So why did the Buddha teach such terms? It is not for terminology's sake. It is for practice, and it is for bettering our sentiment, purifying our sentiment, you know, and to improve our wisdom, you know, to see things more clearly and classify each minute things so that we can deal with all those things better. So that's the reason. So the Buddha is not a philosopher. Of course, he is super philosopher, but he is not for learning's sake, and he is not for just talking's sake. All his terms is not to just to show he is so learned or he is so so good in talking or eloquent. but only to show people how to deal with their mind and how to live a better life with himself and with others, so that you can be liberated of, to get totally free from all the anxieties and annoyances in this world and in this life. Okay. They are also, page 14, second line, they are also freed from dharmic appearances. By dharmic appearances, it means the appearances of dharma. And the adjective of dharma is dharmic. By dharma, it does not mean Buddha dharma, because this word dharma in Buddhism, it comprises everything. Okay, not just Buddha dharma or other religions dharma or doctrines, but also objects and even people and even animals, anything abstract or concrete, animated or inanimated, sentient or insentient beings, they are all called dharmas. So it's the broadest general term for everything. So, and dharmic appearances, meaning when a certain dharma shows itself, then it is called this dharma's dharmic appearances. As well as mis dharmic appearance. Mis meaning wrong. Wrong dharma appearance. Or it can mean non-dharma appearance. And which would mean non-appearance. And mis dharmic appearance, the dharma which is wrong and it shows itself is called misdharmic appearances. To put it this way, if you practice some dharma and which is good and which is right, then it's dharmic appearance. For instance, you practice the right meditation, then it is dharmic appearance of meditation. But if you practice some wrong meditation, then it is called misdharmic appearance of meditation. For instance, some meditation teaches you to contemplate or to perform something very weird, you know, such as years ago, there was a person who taught suspension meditation. Heard of that? And, well, that was 30 years ago. So maybe you were not born yet. And some other various meditation techniques, and they are not right. They are not orthodox. And they mislead you. It is called dharmic appearance. So in the practice of Buddhism, it is so difficult because there are so many quack masters, and they will teach you how to quack, you know, like a duck. So you've been hearing all the quackings all around. But it is very hard to find a swan, right? A swan is, it looks very like a duck. Wherefore could it be so? How could it be so? For if these multi-beings sees appearances in the mind, if these people sees or grasp appearances in the mind, they would assuredly grow attached to the ego, multi-being, and lifespan. For instance, sees the appearances in the mind. For instance, if you watch TV and you see a scene and you were moved by the scene, and how come you were moved by the scene? Because you kind of catch the scene and seize and grasp it and take it into your mind and own it and have it. So it means seize the appearances in the mind. But all the people do all things every day like this. All people do this. So how can you understand things? How could you understand images? You do it through your visual sight, your eyesight. And by your eyesight, you take and grasp the image into your mind and have it and enjoy it or dislike it and curse it, right? And this is the images, colors, forms. How about sound? The sounds are the same. How do you like the music? Okay. The music does not come to your ear, does it? No. Like in the mythology or legend, the king's ears are very long, right? So it goes out to grasp sounds and take it into the ear and into the mind and have it and own it and enjoy it and relish it, right? So this is, you seize the sound into your mind. You seize the sound appearance into your mind. Okay. So the moment that you seize the sound into your mind and you love it and you are attached to it, so you own the sound, and like I said, at the same moment, you are owned by the sound. So you are not free. You are not liberated, right? If you, for instance, if you like Tchaikovsky, and when you listen to Tchaikovsky's music, and you love it, and you are loved by the music, right? So you are not free. Okay, so you are owned by the sound. And so multi-being sees appearances in the mind, all kinds of appearances, either good appearances or bad appearances. Good appearance is termed as dharmic appearance, and bad appearance is called misdharmic appearance. You seize all those appearances into your mind, and they would assuredly grow attached to the ego, alter, multi-being, and lifespan. So, if you seize Tchaikovsky's music into your mind, then you are attached to your ego. What does that mean? Because I love Tchaikovsky, right? I, ego. Okay. And alter. So if an alter, Tchaikovsky is altered now. Okay, he is loved by me. Okay. And and represented by his music. So I love his music, meaning I love him. Okay? So it's very hard to separate the two things. Okay? For ordinary people. So if you love his work, then you automatically love his person. Unless you are so cool, you know, and so you can stay away and from the messing up. Understood? Okay. And then multi-being and lifespan. So if you seize some appearances, then you automatically are attached to the ego, altar, multi-being, and lifespan. Likewise, if they seize the dharmic appearances, they would also be attached to ego, altar, multi-being, and lifespan. Wherefore is it so? Why is it so? For on the other hand, if they seize the misdharmic appearance, they are to be attached to ego, altar, multi-being, and lifespan. Therefore, one should not seize the dharmas, nor should one seize the misdharmas. These are very key sentences. So, the dharmas are good, but you should not seize it. You should not be attached to it. You can practice it, but without attachment. So, you see how difficult. So, and let's practice this way. You should love your daughter without being attached to her. That's the Buddhist way. Why? Because if you love your daughter, it's okay, it's good. You take care of her. But if you are attached to her, then you are always troubled by her. You are annoyed by her, you know. So what you need to do is take care of her and love her without being attached to her. So this is the practice of Buddhism, the practice of Dhyana Prajna Paramita, wisdom in real life. Okay, so I'm not talking blank words. And the Buddha, neither does Buddha talk blank words. It should be performed. It should be carried out in real life. So this is the way. So you love your parents or anybody, but don't be attached to anything. Okay, so you are a free man, a real free man. Okay, and because you are free, so your love can be even bigger, you know. It is even bigger because you would not be attached to your ego, which would limit your love. So now you love your daughter, and someday she disappointed you, she let you down, and you hate her so much for that, and say, oh, I'm not going to love you so much, right? Maybe I will love you a little. Okay, but if you are not attached to her, then you are not going to be influenced by her behavior or reaction, you know. So because you are free, you know. Okay, so there is a safety distance between you and her. Because there is a safety distance, so you don't need a bumper, you know, for safety, for security. So freedom or liberation is the first thing that we need to know and need to have so that we can have real wisdom.
If you are not free, then you won't have any wisdom. So freedom is the prerequisite for wisdom. So, first of all, you need to free yourself from all your attachments to anything. The more attachment that you get off, the better. But it does not mean that you don't love or like anything anymore. It means that your love becomes bigger and more comprehensive and egoless. Your love becomes egoless love, which is grand, right? That's the Buddha's love for multi-beings, because Buddha and Pusa do love people, but they are not attached to people. So they help people, but they don't expect anything in return. That's selfless love. Okay. So that is not talking. That needs to be practiced. And your domestic life too. Take a rest.